Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast. It's all three of us back again for this festive season of mirth and joy. Today we shall be discussing the inventions that were created for the wrong reasons.
That's the one.
But before we get onto that, we shall be responding to some of your comments that you left on previous episodes of this very podcast or episodes of our mini-documentaries that go up on our second channel, Uncovered. Go over there and subscribe if you haven't already to keep up to date on the latest videos that we shall continue to be making. Thanks to your wonderful support. And we shall be leading the way with a riddle. But before I read the riddle, fellas, I want to know how you both are, because it feels like it's been a while since all three of us have been together to have a good old three-way. So, Martin, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm very well. I'm getting into the Christmas spirit. The tree's up. Does feel like forever since we've done this, so really good to be back in one of the three hot seats. All good. All good. I'm looking forward to this, because I think it'll be a good one. I think it'll be interesting, and I'm excited to see what you guys bring to the table, too.
How's Daniel Radcliffe been treating you? Have you been a body double for him recently?
I know it's been difficult because the body types are dissimilar, so I have to kind of morph and I'll just say we'll fix it in post, which apparently the cast and crew weren't too happy about. It's been okay. I mean, I think Daniel's happy with it as far as it goes. If he's had to walk around on stilts just to match me as the body double, it's that way around. But
harsh burn.
It's better than the other way around, though. Like he'd prefer to appear tall, I guess. That's probably
if the other way around, I'd have to do the old trick of kneeling in the shoes.
Daniel Radcliffe is 3 foot tall. That's what we've learned so far.
I hope he's not a listener and being just woefully offended by this. Or if not, maybe he's got a wonderful sense of humour. He strikes me as the kind of fellow who would have a good sense of humour.
I reckon so.
He could take this banter on the chin.
Until it gets to the point where he snaps and then he loses his shit.
Yeah.
Starts just absolutely windmilling.
It does strike me like that. It's true.
Starts windmilling into the crowd and like smacking girls in the face.
Goes full Guns Akimbo or whatever that film was that he started.
Yeah. You've seen Daniel Radcliffe, now you've seen Daniel Madcliffe. Starts filling in his arms about the place.
Well, folks.
We're all trying to think of them now.
aren't you glad you tuned in for this priceless gold? Sometimes I wonder why we even bother picking topics to discuss, because every introduction is like an adventure in itself. I never know where it's going to go, where it's going to end up. So I'm going to draw things back on course with a riddle, not a Daniel Radcliffe, just a riddle. Yeah, it's terrible. But anyway.
I liked it, Robin. I liked it. And you can get away with it because it's Christmas time.
Oh, thank you. It's the one time of year that we can make terrible, terrible puns and dad jokes and get away with it. Of course. So, fellas, we'd like to hear a riddle.
I'd love to, Robin.
What if we say no now? What happens?
What kind of coat is always wet when you put it on?
Okay.
What kind of coat is always wet when you put it on?
Okay.
Could be, hopefully, a bit of a head scratcher. Might not be. A lot of you people are very, very clever. I struggle with these riddles, but oftentimes people in the comments are straight in there. They get it straight away.
I've got it.
Yeah. Alex has got it. Yeah. Alex is on the wavelength. He's good at these things. He's very good. I'm sure Martin's got it, and he's just too nice to say. Too nice to say. Got it.
The answer is just a coat that's been left out in the rain.
No, it was also known as a raincoat.
Got him.
Hey. Well, stay tuned to find out the answer. I shall be revealing it and the answer at the end of the episode. So stick around. Now, before we move on to responding to some of the comments that people have left, I just want to say a massive, 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 massive thank you to our supporters, particularly our supporters on Patreon and our YouTube members, who are wonderful, generous people who keep this channel going. And if you want to join in with them, you can get access to the episodes of A Little More Interesting, which are exclusive to our YouTube members and Patreon supporters, just by, you know, for as little as a dollar a month, if you want to join in. But if you don't, that's fine. And we're still incredibly grateful to everyone who tunes in and listens. And in particular, I think we'd like to say a special thank you to Cindy Hafner, James, Rashad Najjar, Caleb Wilkerson, Kurt Jones, John Baker, Henny Ruffle, The Super Show Podcast, Nicholas Dill, Emmett Tapia, Ahmad, Peasward, Josh Chomatek, A Filthy Casual, and Simon Workman. Thank you to all of you wonderful people for supporting us and helping us keep going and helping us to make our little mini documentaries in addition to our podcast episodes, which go up on our second channel, Uncovered. Now, gentlemen, what comments have you got that you'd like to share with the people?
Well, I've got a comment from Leash, who's a long-time listener, long-time fan from way back when, actually. So thank you for continuing to watch Leash. Appreciate it. Leash says, I constantly am arguing to people that if we are Earthlings... Oh, this is in relation to alien life, by the way, the last podcast on what aliens will look like according to science, wasn't it? Constantly arguing if we are Earthlings... If we Earthlings, are the only things intelligent life in the entire universe, I'll be even more depressed than I am. That would be the saddest, most pathetic thing the universe could do. And I agree. If we're the only ones here, it would be a bit depressing, wouldn't it? Like,
Who's that quote by where it's, we are either alone in the universe or we are not.
Equally and terrifying, right?
Both are equally terrifying, yeah.
Yes, that's actually a good point, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, would you guys like there to be... alien life? I mean, there's almost
absolutely. Yeah, I'd love that to be. I'm up until the moment when they come here and just immediately kill us all.
Yeah.
Just stamp on us like an ant's nest or, yeah.
Exactly.
But no, I'm optimistic. I think it's a good thing for there to be life out there.
What do you think, Martin? Because you weren't in that episode where we discussed it, so we never got your point of view.
What was the actual questioning? What was the phrasing of the question?
It was would alien life look like according to science?
Yeah.
Yes.
But so we also speculated wildly and gave our own opinions. Okay. So if you think aliens exist, what do you think they would look like? Your kind of just intuition, what would be your opinion on it coming in with a fresh perspective?
The thing is because they're represented so frequently in different ways in media. You've got the classic grey aliens. Mm. You automatically go to those kind of stereotypes, find.
That's what I said last week. I said, like, it would be great if they turned up and they were literally just the classic look of an alien, like how you imagine aliens, like those little grey aliens.
It would be nice if they weren't crazy, horrible looking. Like in Signs, I remember in Signs, they're pretty grim, aren't they?
Oh, that was... Signs, they were terrifying,
So Signs would be so good. I imagine that they're not that tall, just because they've evolved. If they reach our planet, they've evolved to not have
to be
very tall.
Theme to Martin's thought processes here. Have you shrunk, Martin? Are you feeling a bit insecure? Is that what's going on here?
I just don't think they have to be that tall because they've advanced so much to be able to reach our planet that height probably isn't really on the radar to them for evolutionary...
But humans have gotten taller, haven't they?
People
in the past used to be way smaller.
But there could be a reverse of that when there's technology takes over, so there isn't as much evolutionary benefit for being tall.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Would they have giant thumbs? Because there's a prediction that humans are going to evolve to have massive thumbs and massive bums. Because with technology, we now spend more time typing and playing games.
Massive thumbs, massive bums, massive tums. It's the human way.
Is that actually beneficial, though, having big thumbs to operate a device? Sure, you want nimble thumbs. You don't want giant fat thumbs.
I don't know if the evolution of humanity has stayed on the course of advantageous in the natural world.
Yeah.
You know, I think we've strayed from that path a long time ago.
Yeah, true, true. I'm just going to have a quick go with my Tamagotchi with my giant thumbs. Not going to work.
Alex, have you got a comment that you'd like to respond to?
I did have a comment. I had a comment from our very good friend, Samuel Richards 3239, who we all, you know, used to work with and used to do one-on-one facts on YouTube. And he says, would love you guys to bring back the Things We Learned This Week segment to the podcast. And that was upvoted by quite a few people as well. So thank you, Sam, for that comment. Do you know what you could do with that comment? You know what you could do?
It's, your feedback is greatly appreciated. Maybe we will bring it back in the new year.
I think the idea was we were going to do that.
We're doing it in the live quizzes.
But the live quizzes, we've reduced that to one a month now.
Yes.
So if there is if there's a healthy demand for it to come back, I don't know, maybe we can look into
Hopefully, Sam, you enjoyed the segment of Things We Learned This Week on the previous episode, which went out just before Christmas, which was our Christmas quiz spectacular live on YouTube. So if you listen to us on a podcast platform of your choice, you can find the live quizzes over on YouTube, and next time, if you want to partake in the quiz in the live chat, so please do.
It's one click away.
It's a fluid thing.
But I thought I'd just mention that. But I hope you're doing well, lovely. Sam. It's lovely to get your comment.
It is. It's lovely to hear from you. I've got a comment of a very different sort, which was on our Ghost Hunting in the Most Haunted City in Europe video. Where we went to York, the city of York, which is the most haunted city in Europe. We looked for some ghosts. Great video, edited by Alex. So... thank you. And mostly filmed by Alex as well. It's kind of like credit where credit's due. And I want to respond to this comment because I had to look it up. And the comment was by Arden Vincent, who said, I'd love to see Robin try the Estes method while Martin and Alex ask questions. So do you know what that is, the Estes method?
Is that the writing on the, like you're trying to write on the paper without, is it the writing on the paper thing? But you're trying to channel the spirits through you, kind of thing.
Similar, I think it's slightly different because that goes back. That goes back a ways.
Is that a completely different thing I'm thinking of?
But the Estes method was invented in 2016, apparently, so it's quite recent.
Oh, okay.
And it's to do with, I think, sensory deprivation. So
that makes sense.
Put yourself in like blindfold and
around the same time that Stranger Things came out.
You know what? Actually, now you mention it. So it's like that, and then I guess. Yeah, similar to the whole channeling a spirit and writing on a whiteboard with your eyes closed. It's like that, I guess.
Well, I had no idea when you said SD. I was thinking like standard definition. And yes, most paranormal phenomena is recorded in standard definition for obvious beneficial purposes. So you can't see the hell's going on. Yeah. So we might try that.
That's where we missed a trick with the video. We filmed in 4K. Idiots.
I know. Standard definition, add some blur, and you're going to get something on screen. Yeah.
Anyway, gentlemen, are you ready to talk about inventions that were created for the wrong reasons?
Oh, yes.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Inventions that were created for the wrong reasons. I'm going to put my neck out there and say great inventions. right?
I think All of us, I think.
Yeah. I think I'm not exactly sure what we've picked, but who wants to go first? Shall we go in alphabetical? Alex.
So I think quite a lot of people might have heard this before. If you're a fan of QI, you've definitely heard this fact. But the story of the inventors is still quite interesting. So did you know that Kellogg's cornflakes were originally invented to prevent masturbation?
No.
Yeah. Have you ever heard this before? Because I'd heard it before as like, I just heard that with no context, and I was like, how? And
how?
What's the connection there? How does that equal that? But the story is crazy. So Dr. John Harvey Kellogg was a pioneering health guru in the late 1800s, and his life mission was to improve America's mind, body, and soul. And some consider him to have actually invented the very idea of wellness. He's essentially basically the bridge between literal snake oil salesman and whatever the hell Gwyneth Paltrow's up to these days. You know, he's that kind of like in between bridging gap. Not quite medicine, not quite total rubbish snake oil.
Because, I mean, cornflakes is a great invention.
I mean, well, yeah, I mean, and a lot of like what he kind of advocated for did make sense. But in 1876, he became the head of what was called the Battle Creek Sanitarium, which was this luxury retreat.
Battle Creek.
It's like a...
It sounds like a war zone.
Really. Yeah. But it was a luxury retreat for the health conscious elite. It was kind of part spa, part hotel, part physical health center, and part very questionable medical procedures carried out by a deranged maniac.
Yes.
But some notable people came here, including Henry Ford, the president, Warren Harding, and Thomas Edison stayed at this place. It was a very notable establishment.
I mean, those three alone are amongst the greatest humans in history. Their reputation is unsullied, right?
No one can Lovely question people. Their reputation. Yeah. Yeah.
All their integrity.
But also at the San, as it was called, was John Kellogg's younger brother, Will Kellogg, who was working at the time as a bookkeeper for his brother. And growing up, their family was part of the Seventh-day Adventists Church, which, along with their belief in the second coming of Jesus Christ imminently, also believed fervently in good diet and good health. Because in their view, the body, soul, and spirit was one inseparable entity, and you should take care of your body because it will help your soul, basically. And this is important because it clearly influenced John's beliefs later on and his practices at Battle Creek. And the church paid for his education through medical school and made him head of the sanitarium in 1876, where he transformed it into an institution to promote his carefully thought out ideals. And some of his health goals were pretty sensible. So at the San, he banned drinking. There was no caffeine, no sugary sweets, no smoking, limited meat consumption. And moreover, he encouraged physical exercise, getting plenty of fresh air, and getting a good night's sleep.
That all sounds, I mean, to be fair, that's probably medical advice for nowadays.
That all sounds very logical.
Yeah. Yeah. However, and then have your cornflakes so you don't masturbate.
Cornflakes a breakfast thing for him, or were they? What time of day are you meant to, what's the most efficacious time of day to eat cornflakes to prevent your masturbatory habits?
It was originally a breakfast thing, but I mean, look, yeah, as you've said, you get a good night's sleep, but you better be sleeping alone, because one of the worst things that you could do at the San was have sex in any way, and of course masturbation was an absolute no-no.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you're kind of encouraging one by discouraging the other.
Right. Well, I mean, don't worry, because he's got some cures for it that are pretty horrific before I get into cornflakes. So on the lighter end of the scale, to cure masturbation, he would simply handcuff you so that you would prevent temptation whilst you're alone. Okay. It gets worse from here, Robin. Okay. It gets worse. That was
my foolproof treatment.
So he's going to handcuff you, and if that doesn't work, then he's going to put your penis in a cage where you can't access it.
What?
So he's just going to put.
What do you mean a cage?
Put a cage around it.
What? So what, all the time?
Yeah, all the time. If that's what it takes.
I mean, the social embarrassment alone, I guess. Yeah.
So how do you go to the toilet?
With great difficulty, Martin, I presume.
Yeah, but through the bars in the cage.
Yeah, it just sprays everywhere.
Oh. It didn't cure my masturbation, but it gave me great aim.
Worth it. But his most effective method at curing masturbation, this is grim, was circumcision.
And especially,
as he says, if it's performed with no anaesthetic. Because in his mind, it would make the patient, quote-unquote, forever associate touching their penis with immense pain and suffering, which I believe that's probably accurate, yeah?
What if you don't have any anaesthetic?
So it's basically negative reinforcement, the ultimate negative reinforcement, isn't it?
Right, okay. So where do cornflakes come in?
I'm sorry, I'm getting to it, but his whole story is so mental. I feel like you need the preamble before you get to the cornflakes part. You need to put yourself in his mind before you get to cornflakes.
I'm still not getting to cornflakes.
It's about the journey, not the destination. This
one. Okay.
Just show you how much of a lunatic he was. He practiced what he preached and performed his own circumcision at the age of 37.
Okay.
And if this procedure... Okay, this is the worst bit. If this procedure still wasn't enough, he would sew what was left of the patient's foreskin over the tip of the penis and then twist it shut with a metal wire.
What?
With a metal wire.
Oh.
So... that would do the job.
But you definitely can't go to the toilet.
Yeah, I don't know how that works. Maybe he leaves a tiny gap.
Right.
I don't know. I prefer not to think about it, Martin.
Let's leave that one.
And what's most disturbing about this, just to paint how much of a lunatic he was, is that a lot of his patients here at the SAN were young boys and girls. And so the person who invented your breakfast cereals, ladies and gentlemen, was a certified lunatic and monster and child abuser.
Great.
There you go. However,
right.
Silver lining here, this was the cure to an illness in his mind. But what he preferred was preventative measures. He thought prevention was better than the cure, you know?
Yeah.
Mm.
And the best way to avoid temptation was to have a bland diet.
A bland diet.
So as such, he invented a breakfast biscuit, not cornflakes, a breakfast biscuit using flour, oats, and cornmeal. However, after one guest broke their tooth on it... he then started grinding it up into a kind of granola to be easier to chew. And one night, however, his brother Will was helping out in the kitchen, prepping the dough for the morning bake, and he accidentally left it out overnight. And when he came back to it, it was fermented and had, like, started growing bacteria. And he was like, it's probably fine. So he whacked it in the oven. And what happened? What was the end result? Perfectly thin flakes that were way crispier than his granola thing that he'd been making. It was Will actually who perfected the recipe by swapping the flour with corn. And lo and behold, cornflakes were invented. And this was patented in 1896. And interestingly, the brothers at this point kind of split because Will was more of a big businessman, industrialist. Right, yeah. And he wanted to start adding sugar to it because he thought people would prefer that. His brother was like, no, go to horny jail.
So he changed his name to Tony the Tiger, and invented Frosties.
Well, he did leave the sanitarium, and the brothers actually, there was a decade long court battle that the brothers went through, because Will made this a household name. This was an immensely popular thing, whereas John still served his own version of it at the San, still using his name, but was making them as boring and plain as possible, because that was what he didn't care about making money.
So they, in his mind, originally,
he just wanted them to be boring and, you know, as unmasturbatory as possible.
I mean, what a marketing tool that is. Buy this. It's the most boring thing.
I know.
It will suppress all of your desires and also probably your emotions.
I mean, credit where credit's due, they succeeded. Cornflakes are so bland.
Yeah.
But do you know why this was such a huge success, I think? Because you've got to look at what was the equivalent at the time. Mm. And at the time, this was a game changer, because people's breakfast options were either basically having to get up really early to light a fire to then cook some porridge or heat up some really greasy leftover dinner from the night before. That was it.
Yeah. Do you think he's rolling in his grave right now, seeing all like ricicles? Yeah. He's pretty like, oh, they're not honey nut cornflakes, they're horny nut cornflakes. This is like rolling around like, these are awful. Hates
crunchy nut, crunchy nut.
Blasphemy.
I mean, sorry, go on.
I was going to say, there was one thing I do know about the Kellogg brothers, which kind of makes you wonder.
Oh, go on.
But I don't know if you're going to mention it. It was about the age at which they died.
Oh, I don't know the age they died at, actually.
So I happen to know that they both died at the age of 91.
Oh, yeah, no, they did live a long... Yeah. They both lived long lives.
Which is especially for that time. That's amazing,
Yeah. Also, side note, given how anti-sex he was, John, and he actually said that sex outside of, you know, procreating was terrible. It was like, unless it's just for purely procreation, it was awful. He was happily married for 40 years and never had any biological children. So,
wow.
I'm willing to believe he just never, ever had sex.
He must have been completely asexual to have no sex drive. Yeah. Didn't masturbate, presumably, and didn't fornicate. Amazing. But also, folks.
But if he was completely asexual, though, I feel like he wouldn't be bothered about this whole thing.
He'd be like, why would people...
It
wouldn't make sense to him in a way.
He's clearly obsessed with it,
He must have had a sex drive, but just like been the most determined to go against it.
Yeah, incredible religious guilt.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Wow.
Just think, if you channel all the energy that you waste masturbating, folks, you can become the equivalent of a Kellogg. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the thing is here, the brothers became estranged after this because of this decades-long legal battle, but also John had kind of bullied Will growing up, and they had a kind of frayed relationship anyway.
It
was Will who had become massively successful, and the tragedy of their kind of relationship was John had written Will a letter. We don't know the contents of this letter, but I think it was something along the lines of, sorry, I was such a dick all your life. But his secretary thought that it was beneath John to send that and didn't send it to Will. And John died, and then the letter only found its way to Will when Will was on his deathbed. And apparently, after reading it, he sat up and said, "Why didn't anyone tell me this?" And then passed away shortly afterwards.
Oh.
So his brother, they kind of reconciled from beyond the grave.
Wow.
Cornflakes, folks. Cornflakes. There is this current trend in cinema to do like biopics of inventions and stuff. So they had the Steve Jobs one, and this year they've had BlackBerry and the Tetris one. I feel like they should do a Cornflakes one. That would be ripe for like a biopic.
Maybe type. The Kellogg Company doesn't want that story out there.
In fairness, that's probably it.
It's very true. Quite bad publicity for them. Although there was a film from 1995, I want to say, it could be 94, by Alan Parker, you know, who made Bugsy Malone. And Mississippi Burning, called The Road to Wellville, where Anthony Hopkins plays John Harvey Kellogg.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, so they kind of have.
I mean, the historical accuracy is a bit. It's a comedy. It's definitely played. It's not the kindest look at the character. and it's not entirely accurate. But yeah,
it's, fair enough.
But yeah, they haven't. You're right. They haven't done that focused. This is the story of how this thing came to be. And yeah, who would have thought something as unremarkable yet iconic as cornflakes would have such a crazy and tragic kind of story behind it?
And they did it with the founder as well. So,
Martin.
Sure. Yes. So let me take you back to 1849, so the middle of the 19th century, and to a Canadian geologist by the name of Abraham Gesner. And to be fair, I didn't actually know this particular geologist slash inventor before looking up this particular story, but it's pretty interesting. And he was interested in particular in fuel, which is, you know, okay, fair enough. You know, everyone has their own specialisms. And what he began to do is to experiment with different substances. And eventually he basically developed a method to distill illuminating oil from coal. And he named this oil kerosene, which we all know now. And this comes from the Greek word keros, meaning wax. And so, of course, when you light it, it can be used, you know, for lamps and fires, heating and light, basically. And it was relatively clean compared to what had come before. So a pretty good source of fuel. And so this basically revolutionized the world of lighting in particular. It was accessible. You could find it basically everywhere. It was affordable and more affordable than other sources of energy and light at the time. So massive impact on all kinds of industries and also households worldwide, possibly actually the biggest impact on kind of lighting prior to, you know, electricity later on. So massive impact, and well done, Tim. But the other impact was on Wales. Not the country, on whales, and on sperm whales in particular. And so the sperm whale is the third largest mammal, and it's called this because it has this milky substance that's found in their skull. And this was known as spermaceti, and its biological function, we're not actually sure what actually it does, but a bit of byproduct of that was that spermaceti was able to be used as fuel to light lamps. So before the invention, the accidental, you know, the invention of kerosene, this was used. And so between 1801 and 1900, approximately, so almost a quarter of a million, 236,000 sperm whales were killed.
Oh my gosh.
And so the unintended consequence of
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Kerosene and the invention of kerosene was the saving of the sperm whale from what would have been extinction. Yeah. So it definitely had this knock-on effect. So, so it's a bit of a reverse here. It's like kerosene's the invention, but actually what it did inadvertently was a huge benefit to wildlife.
Never thought I'd be grateful to fossil fuels. For...
Exactly. So three cheers. Three cheers for kerosene, isn't it? So well done to Abraham Gesner.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I mean, Did he was he, if he was motivated in any way to save the whales and that's why he came up with this, then that would be great. But I'm guessing it wasn't about that, to be honest. That was
no, exactly. Yeah, no, definitely just an unintended consequence of the invention. He didn't care at all about the humble whale. But in the same breath, he definitely did a good job. He was, you know, one of the first environmentalists inadvertently. Which is complete bullshit because, you know, it was the mid-19th century. But anyway, well done to him. I mean, he made a lot of money through refineries and built power plants costing millions of dollars even in the mid-19th century. So, he was basically a coal baron. 30,000 tons of coal per year and exported it all over the world. So not exactly an environmentalist, but well done for helping out with the old whales.
Does anyone still use that sperm whale fuel?
What was it called?
Today,
I don't think so, because it wasn't as good basically as kerosene.
Yeah,
and was a lot more expensive. So I can't see any reason why anyone would. Plus, it must be really difficult. I'm just going to go out and kill a whale, crack a skull, and get some liquid from it.
Did you kill a sperm whale? Killed an orca. Yeah. Wrong kind of whale.
They
man.
Don't have any good fuel in them. Yeah.
Have you seen Avatar: The Way of Water, the second one?
I have not. No.
Okay. Well, I wonder if it took inspiration from this story, this history. So thanks, Martin, for enlightening me. James Cameron, staying current by developing a sci-fi blockbuster in 2022 around 19th century history. Well done.
Talking of orcas, this just reminded me. Do you guys know about...
Sorry.
You know, you mentioned you killed an orca by mistake. I was just... Sorry, my brain's just pinging all over the place. But do you know that orca called Tilikum? The orca? So there's been like four
Not
recorded...
personally. Yeah, I know. Oh, is this the really smart one?
Well, there's been four recorded deaths of trainers or people at the hands of orcas. Yeah. And this orca, Tilikum, is responsible for three out of the four.
Wow.
Yeah,
pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. It's dead now, so no one panic.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, maybe a story for another time.
Did they kill it, or how did it die?
No, I think it died naturally. I think died in SeaWorld. I think it was just it was in captivity and just killed three trainers. Yeah, mad. Gosh.
Maybe after the first two, they should have put some extra
precautions
in.
Yeah.
Well, no, because no one knew where he got the arsenic from.
Just, where'd you get that gun, buddy? Robin, care to take us home?
I mean, my invention is something that will be familiar to everybody. Do you like balloons at a birthday party?
No. Hate them. What's the fear of balloons called? Can't remember.
Balloons.
That's it.
No, do you actually hate balloons?
No, I like. I don't. I like balloons. Yeah.
He says.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, everyone loves them. Apparently, it's a huge industry. It's party standard. Apparently, the global industry of balloons was worth $647.3 million in 2020. And is expected to grow every year by 4.2% until 2026. Because balloon fever is just growing.
But how do they know it's going to peak in 2026?
I don't know how they calculate that specific thing. That is a bit... Maybe it's one of those, if we say it, enough people will believe it, and then they'll give us money.
Yeah, buy more balloons.
Buy them. There's a scarcity. There's a shortage of balloons. Well, balloons were invented... not by accident, but for a completely different purpose. But it makes sense. So you've heard of Michael Faraday, the scientist, British scientist from the early 19th century.
Faraday's cage.
Exactly. Inventor of the Faraday cage. More or less the establisher of electromagnetism. He proved it. He established it as a thing. He invented the technology that would go on to allow the electric motor to exist and batteries with, I think, direct current was his thing. And he popularized common day words like ion and electrode. These are all things that he he used, and he was a self-made man. He like he came from poverty, had no education, but just had such a passion and understanding for science. He did all kinds of things, and as well as discovering benzene, he did lots of experimentation with hydrogen. And in 1824, he needed to find a way to control hydrogen gas. And he was like, this gas is just in the air. I can't control it. How do I contain it for the purpose of my experiments? I know. I'm going to take two sheets of rubber. I'm going to dust them with flour. I'm going to stick them together and just rub them with a bit of heat, and they'll kind of melt into each other. And then the flour will stop the sheets sticking together. They'll just stick up together at the edges where I've rubbed them. And I'll take a little ring of rubber to allow a hole, and then I'll put the gas in there. And that's what he did.
Right. That's pretty smart.
Yeah.
That's just very smart. How did he come up with that? How many failed attempts before he got to that?
You do want to do that.
I just had an image of him being like, there's hydrogen all around me, and I can't find it.
How do they stop this?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I didn't look up was how he extracted the hydrogen in the first place. I guess there was some kind of Bunsen burner-based experiment he could use to, I guess, evaporate water or something. Otherwise,
he would already have had it somewhere else.
Yes. So he must have burnt off some liquids that he knew broke down into hydrogen and oxygen. But within a year of him inventing this, purely for the sake of his personal experiments, he had no intention to do anything with this. Another man who he knew, who was kind of a bit of an industrialist, called Thomas Hancock, a manufacturer, started selling these balloons as toys. And they were an instant hit. And Hancock was already a successful manufacturer, but he became like really rich off the back of balloons. But interestingly, he used Faraday's original concept. So balloons were originally sold as a kind of DIY kit. They were sheets of rubber with a ring of rubber that you stuck together yourself and then blew up.
Okay.
And then it was many years before somebody realized we could assemble them ourselves in the factory and then sell them as pre-assembled things. But Thomas Hancock himself is interesting because from what I can tell, it seems that Faraday didn't have any problem with this. Faraday seems to have not made any money out of it. But he seems to have been perfectly happy with Thomas Hancock just taking his balloon design and selling it on the mass market. But Hancock did something similar with Macintosh. Hancock wanted to sell fake leather, and he thought, what's the best thing to make fake leather out of? Rubber. So I'm just going to mass produce it using a formula that was created by Macintosh, creator of the Mac raincoat. And he finessed Macintosh's formula enough that Macintosh joined forces with him and they went into business together and became millionaires.
Makes sense.
So Thomas Hancock
was just an absolute thief.
Yeah, but a kind of an honest thief, it seems like. He went to them and said, mind if I steal your
idea? I'm going
to
take this. This is mine now.
It sounds like he also provided a lot of value and at the same time shared it with them.
Certainly with Macintosh. I don't know about Faraday.
He had the checkbook out with Faraday, and Faraday was like, "Nah, I'm not bothered. Whatever.
Yeah,
I'm fine. I'm in it for the science. With my science.
Yeah.
Or maybe there was. I'd like to know. Maybe there was a deal. Just like, if you let me take this and manufacture it as toys for children, I'll give you a lifetime supply. Faraday's like, oh, think of all the hydrogen I can trap in these things. party balloons invented. For science! And then accidentally.
And how many sperm whales did they kill?
I don't know where the rubber came from. Enjoy your party balloons made with the finest whale blubber. Delicious.
Now that we don't have to use the whales for fuel, we can use them just for balloons.
Oh no. That's too sad.
Oh dear.
Oh my gosh.
There you go. Three inventions that were created for the wrong reasons. Or in the case of Martin, had an unintended benefit to society. Which is nice. I don't know. Martin, yours is a definite provable benefit. We stopped killing sperm whales for this pointless reason. Thanks to this thing.
We invented protecting marine wildlife. That was the invention.
Oh, well done. Conservation.
No, factually correct that no marine wildlife was protected before the invention of kerosene.
I don't know. So let us know, though, either in the comments below on YouTube or on Twitter, folks, if you think balloons and cornflakes count as a similar benefit to the world as Martin's kerosene light.
I mean, we didn't make that promise. We didn't make that promise. Didn't.
But I'm curious to know what people think. You know, maybe I'll do a poll on Twitter at JInterestingYT. But, fellas, would you like to know the solution to the riddle?
Yes, go on, then.
Yeah.
Okay, let me read out to you again. What kind of coat is always wet when you put it on?
Yeah, so I had something in mind. I'm sure, Alex, you had the same one.
Mm-hmm.
Should we say it on three?
Okay.
Three, two, one.
One. A coat of paint.
Paint.
Yeah, Well done. You're too clever. Too clever for me.
Very good.
I liked it because it was like connected to Macintoshes, which is connected to Hancock, which is connected to Faraday. It all comes back round.
Lots of connections in this one.
So many. Crisscross.
Whales, sperm, masturbation.
Remember, teenage listeners, if there are any of you out there, if you want to contain your sperm when you masturbate, use rubber. Or eat cornflakes and you'll have no problem in the first place.
It's Alan Partridge, isn't it? He goes, rubber up. Oh dear.
Wonderful. All right then. Well, thank you for listening.
Disturbing, quite frankly.
Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes, Happy New Year. We hope you had a wonderful Christmas and a
Christmas tale.
And we shall see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye for now.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.